Well, good morning. Yeah. Thanks. Now, before we get started, I do have to kind of address what I know you're probably all wondering. And no, these are not new shoes. No, seriously, I know this incredible jacket and outfit, yeah. We're going to talk about it in a minute as to why I'm wearing it. But I do have to say, I know there's probably some of you in this room that actually recognize it, which is a little scary. So we're going to get to this in just a second. Sorry, I just had to bring some joy to the room, and this is... No, there's more involved than that, but it's going to be really hard for me not to laugh a few times during the message. So here's what we are going to talk about, though, this morning. We are going to look this morning at some very, very important questions, specifically a question that I think some of us need to ask, and maybe we even came in this morning not prepared and not ready to really ask it, to really be challenged, to really think about anything other than lunch and what we still have to do to get ready for tomorrow or Tuesday, or we've got all these other things on our minds, and I think we need to stop for a moment and pause and take a consideration moment for what we're looking at today. As the video mentioned, we're looking at peace this week as we wrap up Advent. And here's the key question I want you to be thinking about as we get started this morning. It'll be up on the screen as well. But I want you asking yourself, do I believe that I can personally, that I can experience peace personally? And this is why this is important, and help bring peace into the lives of others. Do I believe that I can experience it myself? And do I believe that I can help others experience it as well? This is really important for us to wrestle through this morning, because it's going to lead to where I think we all need to get this morning before we even leave, before we even begin to think about Christmas Eve and all the gifts and all these other things, because this goes far beyond Monday and Tuesday of this week. It goes far beyond New Year's resolutions. It goes far beyond the holiday season. And so I think it's easy to say that there's probably no need to convince any of us in this room that we need or appreciate or understand the importance of peace, that we would want to have it. Some of you all know too well that phrase that goes through your mind sometimes, I just need some peace and quiet, especially in a season like this. And we might not use the word peace very much. It's not a word that's like part of our daily language necessarily, but here's something that we do need to understand. What we want to see is that peace is critical. We also recognize when peace isn't there. As much as we want to experience peace, most of us are really good at defining the moments that are absent of it. And so as we get started this morning, I want to take a look at some things that we find in God's Word and some ways that we see peace really play itself out. And a couple things that we need to see this morning about peace are this. First of all, we need to see what we're really talking about when we talk about peace, when we use the word peace. What does God's word really mean? And why the peace that comes from God is different. And it's different than what we typically think of and typically describe or typically experience. But it's not just even in how we experience it. It's even different than maybe how we engage with peace. And so for those of you that are like, really? The whole thing's going to be about peace? Just wait. This is all going to make sense, and you're going to see that this is actually one of those things in your life that maybe has been missing. Not just in you experiencing it personally, but in you engaging with it in the world around you. And why... For me, this is one of the best gifts that I could give you this holiday season. And so, since it's a true holiday season, I don't know what says peace more than, and the holidays more than story time. Not really. But yeah, when I was a kid, I grew up and I loved the holidays because it always meant that I was going to get to sit down with my grandpa and he was going to tell me some Christmas stories. And you know, they're always the classics and things. But one of the things I loved about visiting my grandparents was I could walk into the living room. And as I would walk in, if he was in there, he would be sitting in his rocking chair. That's the only place he would sit if he was in that room. He'd be sitting there. He'd have a book open. Right next to him would be the lamp. I can still picture the room with very vivid detail. And he'd be sitting there. And it was almost more than just a calm. It really was a peace in the room. Because if he was sitting there, that meant everything was done for the day. Everything was complete. Everything was good. Everything was calm. Everything was right, and it was just peaceful. And I can remember walking through the room, and it was almost like I could sense that he was already in there before I saw him. And so it was just this calm, and I used to love just sitting right there and listening to him tell stories. And so we're going to do that this morning. I'm not going to try to be a grandpa, but I figured this chair's been over here this whole time during the entire series, and no one sat in it, and I just feel like we should do that. So I'm going to do that. The problem is this blanket up here, no one get any ideas, but this blanket's incredibly comfortable. So I may sit and not get up. So let me read a few stories for you. Because all throughout Scripture, one of the things that's really neat is this idea of peace is everywhere. From the beginning of creation all the way to the end of Scripture, we see the understanding and importance of peace. And don't worry, I'm not going to go through every single one. We're just going to take a couple this morning. We're going to look at them. And we're going to talk about why peace is such a pivotal part of the Christmas story and of this season and of Advent. And so I'm going to start all the way back when we started hearing of the Messiah in Isaiah and the prophecies that were being told and described. And I think some of us have even heard these before, but it's easy because we've heard them to skip right past them. And so I'm going to read out of Isaiah chapter 9, and it starts in verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." And this is just the prophecy. There's so much more, but even here we see the importance. And we'll talk about this in a second, but now jump ahead. And the prophecies are being fulfilled, and we find the angel meeting with Mary in Matthew chapter 1. And let me just read a few verses from there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to 23, it says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream," this is Joseph, "and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Prince of Peace had come, and he would be with us, that we would know peace, that we would experience peace. But it doesn't just end there. Because jump ahead to the end of Jesus' ministry, and he's meeting with his disciples. And it's the Last Supper, and these are some of the last words that he would get to speak to his disciples. And so it's those closing remarks that mean so much, and he tells them in John 14, 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, and I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I think it's pivotal that over and over through Scripture we see peace being used to define who Christ is, what he will be about, and what he offers us. And so this morning as we dig into this, I think it's really important for us to see a couple things. Number one, we need to really identify what we use to describe peace and what definition we operate with. Because that's going to change how we think about peace moving forward. So let me tell you a few things that peace isn't. First of all, peace isn't being just emotionally numb or indifferent. Okay, peace is not passivity. It's not just sitting there and in a comatose-like state. That's not peace. That's a coma. That's not good. Peace is not some state of calm, although that's part of it. But I think sometimes we just equate, I just need some calm with peace. And that's one type of peace. But the kind of peace that God is talking about here, it's so much more than that. For some of us, we think about peace as a lack of conflict or a lack of war. And yes, that's part of it. Again, but it's such a small fraction of the entire meaning that we're going to look at. I think for some of us, we think of peace and we think this is some unattainable or out there concept or theory. It's this great idea, but it's not something we would actually experience or embrace or live out, or it's not a tangible thing in our lives. I think for some of us, peace is something different than that. It's distant. It's a far off thing. And I think for some of us, we have to realize that peace is not someone else's experience. It's not something for someone else to go through or have or experience. But it's also not someone else's job. You're like, really? Peace can be someone's job? Yes, we're going to get to that. And so when we look at peace, when we talk about Scripture and we talk about the peace even that was being described in Isaiah 9, 6 to 7, which is the first part of the verses that I read, the peace there is translated in Hebrew shalom. And the word there really means so much more than just calm or absence of war. What was understood then and what was used with this word was this idea of completeness and wholeness. Something that took root deep in our soul and in our hearts and our minds, but it was a wholeness of all. Of all of our heart, of all of our soul, of all of our mind, of our body, of our life, all of it, a completeness, a wholeness. And one of the ways that we know this, and we know that it was more than just an absence of conflict, because it was something deeper than that, was because even the blessing that Des read to the children, that blessing was originally given and spoken over the Hebrew people right before they went into battle. You don't often say, "My peace I give to you," if you're about to go into war, unless the word peace means something more than just an absence of conflict. It's a wholeness. It's part of the blessing of Aaron to understand that this is about his kingdom. It's about his values. It's about all of it. I think for some of us, we would look at our lives and say, yes, if that's what peace is, I definitely want that. I need wholeness. I need completeness. I need God's presence and countenance in a way that provides protection. That's shalom. That's peace. It's to create that wholeness and harmony where there is brokenness, where there is loss, and where there is discord. It's to bring completeness and community in a place where there is chaos and conflict. That is what we face day in and day out, and that is why peace, the way that it's described in Scripture, is so, so important. And so much more important than just simple one of the four words of Advent. Because we live in a world that is chaotic, that is filled with conflict, it is filled with brokenness, it is filled with heartache, it is filled with loss. But it's also something more. You see, the idea of this completeness, this wholeness, is to bring together not just things that are broken and making them whole. It's things that are equally really, really good but separated. Things that are beautiful in and of themselves but are ultimately perfect when brought together. The best way to think of it is this. If you know the Hallelujah Chorus, it's one of the most famous choruses in the world. When people play it, people still stand in reverence and honor, not just to the song, but to the one who the song is about. Now imagine for a second if you took all the notes, all the lines of harmony, melody, all the instrument parts, all the vocal parts, and separated them out onto separate pages. Each line would be pretty. it would be okay to listen to. But it's when you bring all of those together, working and playing together all at the same time, that it's this beautiful, awe-inspiring piece. That's also shalom. It's not just taking broken pieces, it's also taking really, really good things and bringing them together. And so as we look at peace and we look at our lives, I think one of the things that we miss is this idea of, okay, so then what's my part? What do I do with this? And we'll get to that. But realize for us, that completeness, that opportunity to create moments where there is wholeness, there is completeness in our lives and the lives of people around us, that's what we want to get to this morning. Because as we look at these verses, there's a couple things that we need to see really, that are really, really important. Here's the first one. In Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, we need to recognize something unique that was taking place in that passage. You see, for some of us, we miss it because we've heard it so many times. We've heard it over and over, and we think, okay, well, that was great. But when it says, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, here's the four names that they give to the Messiah. The four identifiers: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. It becomes a defining description of who Jesus is, of who the Messiah would be. But it also becomes a defining description of his kingdom. Look at what it says in the next verse. It says, of the greatness of his government and power, authority, control, of his peace, of his shalom, of his completeness, there will be no end. That's what was used as an identifier of the Messiah. Of all the things that we could have used to describe what God was going to be like when he came to this earth, what the Messiah would be defined as, they use Prince of Peace and of his kingdom. It will be the greatness of peace that will never end. Think about that for a second. Think about that in your own life. You're like, well, I don't know about you, but there's a serious lack of peace and completeness in my life. Listen, then it's time for you to experience the shalom, the peace, the wholeness, the completeness of God. But skip ahead, Matthew 1, 20 to 23. We've seen the defining description of Jesus, of his kingdom, but it's also a defining description of his purpose and plan. Look at what it said in these verses, Matthew 20 to 23. When the angel is explaining to Joseph why he needs to do this, why it's so important, and that his son will not be like any other son before or ever again, he says, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. You're like, well, how is that peace? Because peace is bringing together things that are separated, where there's discord, where there's brokenness, and where healing needs to take place. For God to send his son to this earth to die for us and to rise again and to save us from our sins was to bring together two things that could not have been any further apart, and that is us and that is God. In our own weakness, we could never have brought peace to that relationship. But Jesus, in his perfect and perfect plan, he says, this is what I'm here for. I am here to bring peace into this moment, into these relationships, and I will speak peace in a way that will never be shaken. It will never change. I love that. I love that he then says, and the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Why is that important? Because he says, I'm not just going to bring peace into the relationship. I am going to embody peace and come and be with you. I am going to show you in physical form what shalom, what peace, what wholeness, what completeness looks like and feels like. What it sounds like, how it serves. I am going to show you the complete picture of peace. I love that. But then I love that Jesus doesn't just say, okay, this is my peace, and you can experience it, but it's really mine. No, he gives it. He gives it away. He gives it to his disciples, and he gives it to us as his followers. John 14, 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. You're like, why does he say that? Because when the world gives something, there's two things that we know about it. One, we have a tendency to kind of attach strings to it. There's no strings attached to this peace. There's no ulterior motive. There's no sinister plan. There's no angle. It's just freely given. But more than that, the things that we give are always temporary. Outside of anything from God, anything that we could ever give has a lifespan. But Jesus knew something. He knew that his peace was different. His shalom was perfect. Even Isaiah tells us that. Of his peace, there will be no end. So when he says, I give differently than the world gives, what he's saying is, this is not a peace that has a limit. This is not a peace that runs out. This is not a peace that one day you will go to give to someone and there won't be any there. It's not getting repossessed. This is peace that is everlasting. And so as he begins to explain this, he says, listen, you now know a defining description of who I am. You know a defining description of my kingdom. You know a defining description of my purpose and my plan. And now you know a defining description of what I want you to have and what I want you to carry out to others. Peace. Shalom. God with us, the Prince of Peace, a kingdom that will never end. And that's why this morning, if we don't remember anything else, can I just encourage you with this? You must get this main point, that we are recipients and ambassadors of the God of peace and of the peace of God. Listen, we take not only God himself with us as we have received and experienced him, but we take his peace as we have experienced it to others as well. We are recipients of God. We are recipients of his peace, but we are also ambassadors. You're like, what does that mean? An ambassador is someone who's part of a kingdom, who's part of a royal family, and who gets to take what they have experienced and what they know to be true of their ultimate ruler and of their entire kingdom, and they get to take it to people who have not experienced it. And they get to convey that message in every way possible. In how they live, in the words they speak, in the lives they leave behind, in their generosity, in all of it. That's what it means to be an ambassador. And so it's not a small thing that we say we are recipients and ambassadors of the God of peace and of the peace of God. Because that's what we are. That's what we get to be. That's your gift this morning. If you didn't know, you had it when you walked in. Just think of me as the person who shined the flashlight. And you open your hands and you're like, oh, I had this the whole time. Yes, right there waiting for you. So here's what we need to see this morning then. Maybe some of you are sitting there like, well, how do I experience this? Because it still seems like this hard thing to really wrap my mind around. Well, here's the first thing you need to understand. It's not some super complicated 30-step plan with 30 different things to do in each step. This is really, really simple. The first thing you need to understand about this is it's about having a relationship with Emmanuel, with God with us, with Jesus. He came to this earth so that you could have a personal relationship with him and that separation between you and God could be made whole. And you could experience a depth of completeness and wholeness that you can never experience on your own. And so as he says this, he says, listen, my people, I come to you and I give you my peace. What he was saying was, I'm giving you me. I'm giving you me. I'm offering myself as a sacrifice in order to make things right. And so if you're wondering, how do I experience peace? It starts with you engaging with who Jesus is. And I think there's some of us that are here this morning, we're like, well, I don't know about you. I've got all these different reasons why this isn't okay and why I don't believe. And can I just encourage you? That's not what it should be about. People have maybe failed you. Maybe religious systems have failed you. Maybe doctrine has failed you. But listen, the person of Jesus Christ will not fail you. And so those of us that are here that have experience, we can say with absolute certainty and confidence and joy that we know what it is to experience the peace and the love and the hope and the joy of God. We know what that is. We know what it feels like. And we want all to understand that and to experience it. And so if you're wondering, you say, well, I have that relationship, so what do I do? Then it's really simple. We talk about this so often, you're probably going to feel like, oh, gosh, this is just like the easy go-to answer. It's really not. It's because it's this simple, but it's sometimes challenging to live out, and it's this. It's that we pursue the things of God. And the things of God are very simple, that we would love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and we would love others as ourselves. When we love God and we love others, it is impossible for us to not experience more of who God is, of his peace, of his joy, of his hope. But it's also impossible to contain that and not pour it out into the lives of the people around us. That's why it's so important. And it leads us to the next thing that we want to look at, is that's how do we take God's peace to others? It's really that simple. When we love God, when we are filled with it, one of the great things about shalom, even in the Hebrew teaching, one of the things they know and understand from a young age is that when you have peace, when you have shalom, it is not a containable thing. It must be poured out. And not like a little trickle, like, oops, some spilled over the edge. Okay? The peace that is meant to bless others is not meant to be one of those things that if somebody walks close enough to you, they accidentally get a little bit of peace on them. We're talking about you intentionally going in to a situation that needs the peace of God and pouring it out. You see, if it comes from an overflow, then it's going to call us into some difficult places. And what we have to understand is peace can't be demanded from the outside. It can't be one of those things where we sit like spectators in the stands or on the sidelines and we yell into things and say, there needs to be peace here. That's not how it works. It's not how peace is experienced. It's not how peace is embraced. What we have to realize is peace is one of those things that is only experienced by others if we ourselves are willing to engage in the difficult moments, in the things that are broken, in the things that have nothing but despair and loss, in places of conflict. You see, one of the reasons that Aaron spoke this blessing over the Israelite people back in Numbers was because he understood that peace, while it was not simply an absence of war, it was what was needed, that they needed the completeness and the wholeness and the protection of God, and that they would be taking that into that moment to create, after the war, to create completeness and hope, and to step into a place of conflict and bring wholeness. And for us this morning, what we need to be willing to do as followers of Christ is to step back for a moment. And I would just encourage you to turn off the things that you've used in your lives, both real and metaphorical, to distract you from the pains and the frustrations and the difficulties of our world. Turn those things down. Turn those things down on a daily basis so that you can hear the needs all around us. I saw last night a friend of mine sent me a picture of a girl that had been taken by a Syrian journalist, and she's covered in mud and tears running down her face, and the journalist asked her to smile, and through that, she has this tiny little smile, and it's so significant because here's a girl a refugee who's been lost, no parents, and how many of us see news headlines and just whew, right by it? There's a refugee issue in our world. There's wars, there's famine, there's homelessness, there's human trafficking, government and educational and health reforms in need. There's places all around us, not just in other countries, but in our own country, on our own street. But it's too easy for us to remain passive. It's too easy for us to look at things and say, you know what, this is uncomfortable. I don't want to mess up my little thing that I have going. I have stuff to do. I mean, we have like a family dinner tomorrow. There's things to do. I need to go buy some presents. Listen, all those things are fine. But I think for too many of us, we've experienced the peace of God. And we've decided that we're going to put a lid on our own hearts and lives. And we've chosen to refuse to pour that out into the places that are really in need. And even though we've experienced that wholeness and that completeness, we've decided that it's only for us. And we're going to contain it right here. Can I just remind you, you are an ambassador of peace. You are the one who is called to take the peace of God, of his kingdom, of what his world could really look like, into these places. But you are the one to do it. You are the one that God has called in that moment to say, what does peace look like here? What does wholeness look like here? What does it look like for this situation to take one step closer to healed, to healthy, to whole, to beautiful? Some of you, if this hits a little closer to home, some of you might even be here with family. So don't give them a weird look in this next few moments. Maybe they're giving you the weird look. But think about this for a second. Think about relationships. Think about the relationships in your life and about the number of relationships you can probably think of just off the top of your head that are strained, that are tense, that are broken, that are awkward at best. For some of you, you're going to be stepping into some of those moments in the next few days because it's the holidays and this is what we do. We get together with family and with friends. And for some of us, that's not necessarily the most joyful of moments. And here's what I would ask you. What does it look like for you to not simply just be cordial? Because I think some of us are like, you know what, if I can just get through these next few moments, we'll all be good. That's not peace. That's passive. That's not declaring a new kingdom. That's hoping to get out alive. Another word for that is cowardly. But we don't like to use that word, right? Like, no, I'm not being a coward. Listen, what does peace need in this moment? What does it need from you? In those situations, in these relationships, in these next few days and weeks with your family and friends, what does it look like for you to be an ambassador of peace in that moment? Maybe there's a conflict that needs to be resolved. Maybe there's forgiveness that will never be known if you don't take the first step and humble yourself. And you say, you don't know how many times I've eaten crow. You don't know how many times I... Listen, what is peace in this moment? What does it look like to step out with boldness and pour out peace so that you can create togetherness? That you can create an atmosphere of love and of hope and of joy. And here's a way for you to ask yourself, in the next few days, with your family and friends, if we were to ask them afterwards what words they would use to describe you and the characteristics you brought to those moments, will they use the word peacemaker? Or will they use the word antagonist? Will they use the word peacemaker? Or will they use words like indifferent? Let's remember the main point. We are recipients and ambassadors of the God of peace and of the peace of God. Here's why this is important. Again, we live in a world in need, a world that is broken, a world that is chaotic, a world that is filled with conflict. And can I just encourage you? That chaos is waiting for the peace of God to take over. It's waiting for you as an ambassador to step in and pour out a wholeness and a completeness that can only be experienced by someone who has known the forgiveness and the love of Jesus Christ. And they're waiting. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know if this is my thing. Listen, is this a big deal for you? Do you want peace? Do you have places in your life that are lacking peace? Listen, it's meant to be one of the defining factors of God's kingdom, of who God is. And that means it is meant to be one of the defining factors and identifiers of us. So is it? Are we showing through our lives the evidence of God's power and presence in our relationships, in the world around us, in places of need, that we would say, you know, I don't even know how I would engage. Stop wondering how God will use you and just ask God, where do you want to use me? You see, if we pursue God, we receive presence, we receive peace, and that overflows into the lives of the people around us. And as we approach and conclude this time of Advent this morning and this week, we need to reflect on the real life implications of these words. That this isn't just something that we use to kind of prepare ourselves for the time that we open presents, but that these are meant to be words that are identifiers for us all year long. This season is simply the reminder of that, that we would live these things out, that our lives would be known by love and by joy and by hope and by peace. These are not selfish words or actions, even if our own lives sometimes reflect the opposite. We have to avoid the tendency to insulate ourselves from the world and the things that are going on around us and say, no, I will be an ambassador. I will pour out the shalom, the wholeness, the completeness of God. So here's a few things as we wrap up to ask yourself. First of all, do I believe that I can experience peace personally? We asked this at the very beginning. And help bring peace into the lives of others. You see, if you don't believe it, then you need to get back into what God's word says, back into the reality that this is who God is. To have a relationship with him is to know peace, and it is to pour peace out into others. But here's the next thing. If you really are an ambassador, and maybe you're still kind of sitting on the fence on this, as the band comes up, let me just challenge you with this last thing. This is critical. To help make sure this is sinking in past your head, into your heart, and in such a way that it's going to be impossible for you not to live out. Ask yourself this. Will your heart and mind be more consumed with bringing peace into the places of brokenness and of hurt and of need and of loss and of suffering? Or will your heart and mind be more consumed with the fact that I'm not going to tell you why I wore this silly jacket? Think about it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much that in these moments that maybe our own lives right now might seem chaotic, God, that you are the God of peace, and it is not a peace that ends. It is not a peace that is limited to a holiday season. God, it is who you are. It is a defining factor of your kingdom, and it has been poured out to us over and over and over again. But it is a gift given that requires us to also give that gift away. So God, open our eyes. Open our eyes this morning, this week, this next month, 2019 that we would see places that are in desperate need of wholeness, of someone who's willing to step in and take the broken things and make them whole, to bring your peace into places that maybe have not ever experienced peace before. And so, God, let that peace just overflow out of us, that we would be compelled to live this out. It's in your name we pray. Amen.